All right, welcome back to episode 22 of SecurityInfoWatch.com's SIW Radio podcast series. We're back with one of our integrator roundtables. Of course, these are brought to you by SecurityInfoWatch.com and our sister magazine, Security Dealer and Integrator. That means we have Deb O'Mara on the program with us today to conduct a roundtable with a couple integrators. And our focus for this episode is really on IP video technologies, as well as a little bit we touched on IP access control. On that note, we brought in Tom Leinhard, Vice President of Sales for Artery Lock Technology Group up in Medford, Massachusetts. His company specializes in remote web-enabled viewing and other security solutions. And also on the program is Mickey Lavery. He's a sales engineer with I2C Technologies out of Uniontown, Ohio. And that company specializes exclusively in delivering IP-based solutions for video surveillance and access control. We had an interesting chat, got into some into the technology, some into the market share, making money with IP-based solutions. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into it and start talking about some of the projects that these guys did and let the conversation unveil from there.
Let's start right into it. Let's talk about some projects. Mickey, what was your toughest IP-based project?
Well, it would have to be an implementation we did for the city of, and that's located in Northeast Ohio. And what we did there, we combined a lot of the different technologies as far as using fiber optics, wireless, and hardwired solutions, where we actually created a network throughout the city where we can deploy cameras basically anywhere throughout the city, and they're all wired or wireless back to City Hall, and therefore the police department can have access to the cameras, receive full frame rate video from the camera systems, and we also installed systems throughout the municipal buildings downtown Akron. And it was really unique solution because the way they have it set up, where all the government agencies basically can log into what's called the DMZ through secure firewalls. And so any government agency in Northeast Ohio can actually log in through this secure VPN connection and access camera feeds and archive video based on their username and password. And this is all set up through an Active Directory so that basically, you know, they have their username and rights that they had through Active Directory also work with the video system.
What were some of the toughest parts of that? Was it, did you guys have to build that Active Directory or?
No, the Active Directory was built, and the great part about it was the IT department there for City of Akron has been very helpful and have kind of worked hand-in-hand with our IT staff, and it's just been a great relationship. And, you know, I would have to say the toughest part of it would be deploying these wireless cameras miles away from City Hall wirelessly. Our technicians, you know, we have to basically mount subscriber units on poles, and those we have to get line of sight back to the municipal building. So basically installing cameras wirelessly throughout a city was a challenge, but they're definitely happy with the end result, and it's just been a great solution. And we're talking to many other municipalities about deploying the same systems.
Tom, how about on your end? What's one of the toughest and most challenging, you know, IP-based products you've had to do?
Well, I guess it would have to be the answer or the question that is posed that's impossible to answer. We do a lot of the ubiquitous network accessibility of access control systems. So if you're off-site or you're running a access control system from a remote location, a world away, a city away, a block away. Those kind of things are pretty straightforward. It's when the person comes to you with a solution that can't be answered. I think those are always the toughest. What Mickey was just describing is really cool and elegant, and having that ability to log in. But it's when the municipalities don't necessarily agree with who has the ability or who should have the ability to administer. We have a community here in a suburb of Boston, and the Chamber of Commerce is fighting the police department over the ability to administer those rights and who will then be viewing the cameras. They've had a rash of BB gun and vandal incidents with, you know, broken shop windows and, you know, little silly things like cans of soda down the chimney stacks, and nobody can seem to come to consensus on, you know, who's going to be administering, who's going to host, where is this going to be, should this be a police station thing, should this be borne by the various business owners in this, you know, in this town square. And then when you come up with a really great solution and it really seems to work, nobody can then seem to solve the ultimate who's going to host it, you know. So that's the toughest thing when you start scaling from projects that are company centric to community centric. The politics can sometimes be the hardest part of the IP deployment.
Absolutely. So the squabbles are going to be tougher than reading that spec sheet and figuring out how exactly to put in that camera, right?
That's exactly right. I think everybody in this room is probably smart enough to configure it. It's the question of the practical use and getting the, you know, the guy who's the head of the chamber to say, okay, tell you what, we'll put that device in, you know, the cafe, or we'll put that in, you know, one of the business owners had actually agreed to donate his business and his building for all of the camera sites. But then the police didn't want that because then they wouldn't have oversight of the DVR. They wouldn't have to take a key to go in and take a look, and then networking. Again, it's the silly things that it's not the practical use of the product. It's the practical, or it's not the practical installation of the product. It's the practical use of the product that can be the barrier.
Mm-hmm. Again, it seems like there's a little bit of an education curve then, too.
Oh, sure. And, you know, that's exactly, it's that whole ubiquitous power of the Internet. You know, all we have to do is log in and take a look, or log in and make a change for some people. You know, even though it's 2008, some people are still not so computer savvy that they kind of understand how to administer the system that they know they need. You know, we need a camera on a pole. We're going to assign it an IP address. We're going to network to that, and we're going to view this. Seems to be a pretty straightforward thing. But then when you say to that person who's going to administer it, well, he says, what do I know? I'm the head of a chamber of commerce. You know, I use a computer to draft emails and Word documents. I don't know what you're talking about. So, yeah, you're right. It is that kind of learning curve. But I think more importantly, Deborah, it's that the political interplay of who, what Mickey was describing is having permissions in an Active Directory. Who then assigns those permissions, and where do those rules apply to what, you know, what rank does that, you know, administrative authority have? Interesting.
Mickey, have you been facing some of the similar challenges?
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. It's when you're dealing with municipalities, everyone has to. You basically have to round up everybody in the same room and hammer out details, and that becomes logistically almost impossible. Yeah, you definitely, you know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to because, you know, there's a lot of necks out on the line, you know, when you're talking about municipal-wide surveillance and you know, a lot of times it's hard to get final decisions made.
Can you guys share a little bit about, you know, your experiences in working with IT departments and also in teaming with you know, structured cabling providers or other IT VARs when you're, you know, creating integrated systems?
This is Tom. I'll jump on that one. We have had a number of interesting projects. One is a local high school, a very large high school, and what was apparent in their original build-out was that they didn't have much in terms of scalability, and we needed to build out some new cameras for them. And we you know, me personally, I just can't stand punching network cable. You know, I'm a great sales guy. I'm a great, you know, kind of problem solver. And the people that we have here are mostly kind of electrical trade guys, or they've come through, I guess I'd answer the next question, but you know, where do we get your people? Some of them come actually through the car stereo channels because they're very good electrically. They're very good with their hands, and they've had some computer skill because of their age. But we outsourced all of the network punch downs because a guy could come in and charge us a few dollars per connection and hammer out all of the camera connections for us at both ends, have the continuity checks, make sure they're all done, sign off and own that, and then walk away. And then we needed to do point-to-point and installation. It was much faster, much more efficient that way.
This is Mick from I2C, and to answer that question, we formed partnerships with several structured cabling companies throughout Ohio, and we found that it's a good idea to get several different cabling contractors in different parts of the state to reduce travel time. But you definitely want to make sure that you get a well-established contractor who knows your equipment and knows how you want cabling ran. It all boils back to communication, of course, where we send out a project manager on site with the structured cabling contractor, and even as simple as putting an X right here and saying, hey, we want this, you know, Cat 5 cable in a biscuit-style jack. You know, we want this located right here. So therefore, you don't get the, you know, you don't get miscommunication. But and as far as IT departments go, our systems, our solutions are a little unique in the fact that we don't use the traditional DVR systems. I guess we would use what some people call an NVR, network video recorder. But basically, it's just a standard Dell server. And IT departments love the fact that, you know, that they can, you know, use business class servers for recording. A lot of times the DVRs, you know, systems, we hear this from IT departments. Many of our clients, IT departments, have a hard time speccing out DVR systems that typically are SATA drives that really aren't built for continuous, rigorous recordings of video. So therefore, we'll spec out, you know, a SCSI drive, a Dell server with RAID for redundancy. So IT departments really love the fact that, you know, network video recorders are within their realm. You know, it's not some proprietary black box, you know, DVR that really they don't know too much about.
Yeah, Tom, same thing for you guys in terms of, you know, choosing products and working with the IT departments?
Yeah, actually, that last comment was excellent. A lot of these guys look at the product like, you know, you're not connecting that to my network, are you? And we have a university here in Boston. They're fairly well known. They their IT department. I think I illustrated this in my email back to Deborah, but their IT department is run by someone with a biological relationship to the director of the college, and because blood is thicker than skill, he has maintained his position there. But the hardest part of all that is trying to decipher what someone else has done when it's not done well or wisely. You bring in a new device. We needed to network some of the dorm room. We're basically locking down dorm rooms in this school. And, of course, not all the dorm rooms are on the same part of the city, so we network address the control modules. And this guy just, even though he runs an IT department, he just doesn't understand the concept of assigning an IP address to a control board. And as much as you're, like, trying to get this, you know, he's like, you can't touch that to my network. You don't have, you know, I need to know all the protocols. No, you really don't, you know. Well, I need to know the MAC address of that. No, it's really not crucial, you know, trying to educate even a guy who's supposed to know that putting in a box that they recognize in a RAID and things that they recognize in the language that they know, you're right, is actually pretty beneficial.
One of the other topics, Tom, I think you kind of started hitting on it here, was staffing. You know, how do you find your people? How do you keep them trained? You were saying you've gone to gotten them from car stereo shops, huh?
Well, it's odd. That's kind of where I come from, a very kind of strange background, and I won't delve into the resume, but I've run a couple of businesses, and I've also been a regional sales manager for an electronics firm out of San Diego, Directed Electronics. And I was the rep here in New England on and off for about 5 or 6 years. And a lot of these installers, believe it or not, are quite gifted when it comes to the basic the basic skill set is there, and then when you introduce them to new technologies, because that's what they do, you know, day in and day out, they're constantly introduced to new technology and find out ways to plug it and make it go and fit it in, and how to integrate iPods and how to then add amplifiers and how to make, you know, mobile video integrate with the audio system and all that, that kind of stuff that's already in their head in terms of how they physically play Lego in their mind. When you say to guys like that, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to be connecting cameras to this particular, you know, DVR, but we're going to make that DVR talk to another DVR so that we can then attach that to a network so we can remotely control a PTZ camera. They're like, oh, okay. They're not stumped. They're not stymied by it. And there's also this really good thing that happens to be the New England car audio market stinks. So we have this excess supply of talent because the fad of car stereo in the 80s and 90s, you know, head units and bang and boom and bass and all that stuff, has now been traded out for computing and gaming systems and high-def TV. So there's this abundance of pretty gifted guys, and if you know the industry and you know the people who did the good installs to begin with, you'll then probably have a good handle. That's where we've drawn some population from these good stereo shops that have come on harder times.
That's an interesting strategy. So it's no longer like the MTV Pimp My Ride. I guess it's build me a security system.
Well, I mean, if you look at car audio sales, you know, as a whole, they have dwindled. And the only places where they really still have a strong foothold is the regions that don't have the same seasonality. So, you know, here in New England, we have a great summer for 3 or 4 months, and then, you know, people aren't pimping their rides when it's 30 degrees below zero. You know, they're pimping their coats and their hats and their gloves and their mittens, and they're going skiing, you know. So that kind of, again, good kids, good skill set, decent work ethic, and again, you throw them these curves technically, and they kind of, instead of going, no way, they go, that's actually pretty cool. Wait a sec. You know, they're kind of inquisitive by nature. That's why they were doing what they were doing. They like electronics. They understand resistance and Ohm's law. They understand how to throw relays. They know how to, you know, wire parallel and series circuits. So it's not that much of a stretch to get these guys to start putting some of these systems together.
Sure. Mick, what's going on with staffing in terms of making sure you have folks with IP expertise over at I2C?
Yeah, Tom kind of hit it on the nose when he said cool, okay, because what we're doing is really cool. I mean, we go in, most of the time our sales reps are talking to the IT departments. They're talking to security directors, but a lot of times, you know, we always have that meeting with the IT guys. The thing is, these IT guys love it. They think it is the coolest thing when we can come in with a IP camera, hook it up to our laptop, zoom a PTZ camera throughout the room, zoom in on labels on, you know, a bottle over in the corner of the room and various things like that, zoom out, you know, three-quarters of a mile away with a Axis PTZ camera through a window, you know. And we don't find – it's not very hard to find good help. Believe it or not, you know, when our sales reps go on these demonstrations at various companies, a lot of times – the IT guys will come up to us, you know, after the meeting and say, hey, you guys hiring? You know, because they just this is something that they could see themselves doing as a career for the rest of their lives, you know. So a lot of times, you know, good people come to us. It's not hard to, you know, very rarely do we have to go out and look for qualified staff because it's just, you know, it's an up-and-coming it's just a cool job, you know. So, Tom, I think you hit it right on the nose when you said it's cool.
Yeah, I guess it's got a little bit more sex appeal than like the traditional alarm system. Right.
Well, it's exactly right. And there's also a lot more, there's a chance, you know, to be a little bit more Superman here. You know, we have constantly put in that position of, look, you know, they've done such and such to my firm, or they've taken such and such from my place. And you know, today's meeting this morning was with a laundry services company that we've done an access control and camera system for. They run around the city and they provide laundry service machines to hotels and schools and hospitals, and they have ATM machines in their various laundry rooms where you insert cash, it fills out a plastic card, charges it with that much money, and then you pass that card from machine to machine, so you're not carrying quarters everywhere. Somebody's hit this box to the tune of $6,000, and tomorrow morning at 8:30 I'm going to be installing a handheld micro digital video recorder with motion sensor and a pocket camera, you know, a pinhole camera inside the ATM machine, because somebody has figured out or has a key to unlock this ATM machine. That's cool, isn't it? I mean, don't you? You know, it's not a huge sale, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun at the end of the day to go, okay, guys, now we're going to set this up, and we got $5 on the table to figure out. We bet who it is, right? But that is the fun of this. You get a chance to be kind of their benefactor, helping them out, showing them that their technology exists, mapping that to their need, having them spend a little bit of money, which also helps, you know, feed your family. And at the end of the day, they go, you know, these guys are really bright. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Let's talk about something that maybe is not as fun, and I know it's something Deb wanted to hit on, and I wanted to, and that's making money. There can be a lot of fun if you're making it. Is doing IP and you know, these, you know, web connected systems, is it more profitable than the traditional systems that maybe you delivered in the past?
This is Mick, and it's definitely profitable. You just have to find the right markets to sell the IP equipment in. Of course, you're not going to go down to, you know, the little mom and pop store and try to sell them, you know, a 16 camera system, because it's just not, they're just not going to do it. They just don't have the money for it. So you have to seek out the right market. And I believe that, you know, service contracts are a big revenue stream as well. So you have to have a nice plan in place for, you know, recurring revenue. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be, one major thing that, you know, businesses need to look at and make sure that they get that recurring revenue coming in.
And since you're not going to get it from the monitoring, you should get it from the service and maintenance? Or would you still supervisory? Okay.
And in terms of, you know, the business sense of it, having done security and now expanding into IP type systems, is it expanding your business beyond security into other areas?
Well, I can't, believe it or not, our company was founded on IP-based philosophy. We actually have never installed an analog camera before. Our company was started with a mindset that all we were going to install was IP-based cameras and IP-based access control readers. So I can't really speak, you know, as far as the old traditional analog security systems.
I think this is Tom from Arterlock. The thing that we see is the integration of taking over an old, you know, I guess legacy is the term, but taking a legacy system and then adding the functionality of IP gives us a secondary source of revenue a lot of people didn't think they had. That high school is a prime example. They had a legacy analog system. It was working okay. They were all black and white cameras, and the monitor was going through a switcher. And we found that by utilizing some of the coax that was already in the building, the school department budget being what it is already, these poor people are suffering. You know, they're cutting back sports, they're cutting back music, but they still need to augment their security. We could take some of the existing analog system, the wiring, upgrade the cameras at the other end, upgrade the equipment at the head end, add a whole bunch more cameras on Cat5, which is considerably cheaper than running coax, and then network that DVR back to the police station so that when they get the call, the police department can log in and look through the camera lenses as they see fit. So what was already somebody else's sale from a long time ago, we could build off of, and because coax being coax, it's pretty resilient, it's pretty good, and if you can see that it's installed nice and the piping on the building was still in good shape, we had a chance to augment, use an IP solution, and get these guys, what they really wanted was an ability of off-site monitoring.
How were you able to do that, Tom? Was that with an encoder and software? Or?
No, actually, the software for that was integral in the new DVR that we spec'd.
Okay.
It came as part of their part of its kind of operating system, if you will.
Hmm.
Yeah.
How about let's talk technology for a bit here, and the technical challenges of using, let's say, IP video. I know that latency sometimes is an issue. How's that affecting you guys, Mickey?
Well, right off the bat, you need to basically when you do a site survey at a location, you need to make sure that the end user has a strong network backbone in place to be able to support IP video. And if it doesn't, then you need to address those issues. There's a limit of 300 foot from Cat5, and a lot of times you can solve those issues by home running all those wires back to the server without having to go through any IDFs or any other switches. So really haven't had too much problem with latency issues. But you definitely need, right off the bat, you need to have a strong, backbone in place. And what's nice is a lot of companies now are pulling fiber, and a lot of times they'll have, usually you pull six strands of fiber at least. And a lot of times there'll be dark strands of fiber that, basically you can put the whole video network on its own dedicated network.
Yeah, and that's really, this is Tom again, and that's really that's where the future is. In addition, I teach a class at the New England Institute of Art. I teach a class on kind of this dark arts of integration and home theater stuff. An entire bundle of fiber optics, about 4 inches in diameter, can control and can transmit all of the known bandwidth on the planet currently, in an unbalanced mode. The fiber capabilities in terms of streaming, in terms of efficiencies gained, in terms of downfield advantage, in terms of all of these things, is really where it's going to be going. Because, what Mickey was just saying, this Cat5 length limits, where things, people will often incorrectly assume that they can do lots of things with Cat5 wiring, including, just connecting cameras to it. But, it's DC voltage, dude. It's in a little teeny tiny strand, and it's going to just get hot, that's the fiber is really going to revolutionize once you get all those, the techies to learn to connect it and balance it and put all the connectors in place. It actually works really, really well.
You talked a little bit about access control, and we've kind of spoken mostly in this call about IP video. Are you guys doing the IP access control and, web-based panel systems, things like that?
This is Mick. Yes, we've standardized to an ISONAS access control solution. And we found that to be beneficial to go along with our IP video. Both softwares for the video and the access control can run on the exact same server. And we've actually integrated both those technologies so that, for instance, as people enter buildings with a proximity card, PTZ cameras can actually react to those entries and give you a zoomed in image of that person entering a door, and then in the video database, it actually can have that person's name tagged in the archive database.
Hmm.
So business owners can actually filter by employee name, for instance, to find the video associated with people entering their business.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, you guys doing that sort of stuff as well, or?
Well, it's funny. We've used CANSEC systems now for a number of years, and it is a hardwired solution. What they have is a DVR partner that will provide some of those same capabilities, but I'm intrigued by what was just discussed. We have the same kind of similar abilities, not necessarily with the PTZ, but the when the access control reader is presented a valid or invalid credential, for that matter, the DVR will snap a film and then store that with the event. So when you find the event in the history that says access denied or access granted, and you double-click it to highlight the details of it, it will then pick up a snapshot. So that kind of capability is very, very cool, because that's what you really are looking for is authentication. It's that old story of, I broke into your office not using your credential, but because I'm sleeping with your sister, I took her credential out of her pocketbook, went to her office, and took the laptops, and they just think it's her who came in over the weekend, you know? Having a video snap of the person that presented the credential is much more important, you know? So, yeah, tying that in. I find what we're using the IP stuff for in these applications more is this whole business of off-site or monitoring after hours. We had a have a client that is a real estate agent, and they have 9 offices in the kind of Everett, Cambridge, Melrose, Wakefield area. And they're so disconnected offices. And they had somebody come in and put standalone solutions at each of their offices. And so when somebody had left or somebody had arrived in terms of hiring, firing, all 7 offices had to be populated with a database. Our answer to that was, hey, network the offices together. So when Deborah quits and Mary is hired, all you need to do is log into the administrative rights of that panel and add and delete, hit enter, and then immediately all of those are then populated. You don't have to send, you know, the old driver around for 3 hours. You know, it's a Boston metro area. This is not easy traffic to negotiate. And that made sense to them. So it's that ability to not having to be on site is where everybody kind of has that huzzah, you know, effect when we talk about IP integration. If you want to change the point, tilt, zoom settings, if you want to add or deny access, if you want to change the DVR's frame rate, if you want to, you don't have to be there to do it. You can be, you know, in your pajamas in your living room. You get that emergency phone call, you know, Debbie quit, she took the keys. You then just, you know, in your pajamas and slippers at 10 p.m., log in, delete Debbie as a user, hit enter, hit OK, go back to sleep. Kind of neat.
Indeed it is. Well, I want to, you know, thank you guys for coming on this podcast program with Security Dealer and Integrator and SecurityInfoWatch.com. Enjoyed sharing hearing from you guys as far as, you know, how to do business with, you know, IT, IP-enabled products, and really enjoyed it. So,
well,
thank you
Jeff,
again.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks,
great.
Everybody. We appreciate it.
Again, big thanks to Deb O'Mara, editor of Security Dealer and Integrator magazine, for bringing together this roundtable. And thanks, of course, to Tom and Mickey for taking time out of their days to talk to us about IP-based security technologies and how that's affecting their businesses. Our next episode, SIW Radio's episode 23, will focus on IT basic for physical security pros. We'll have Kevin Beaver back to talk about security for mobile devices. Join us soon on SIW Radio.